Joe Harris, Simiak, Alan Adams of the Main Edge. And let's start things out by hopping on board the G&M Family Market phone line and connect with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Dan, good afternoon.
How's it going?
Going great, thanks. A big day coming up for you this Saturday as you'll receive the J.G. Taylor Spink Award for your contributions to baseball. And, man, I'm looking at the list of people who have received this award before: Grantland Rice, Damon Runyon, Shirley Povich, Red Smith, Jim Murray, Peter Gammons. That's pretty good company.
Yeah, that's actually that takes my breath away, because when you're in our business and you do what I've done, those guys are like gods. So it's a huge honor to just be in any kind of way linked to those guys.
And you're also going in, I'm surprised it's taken him so long, with legendary broadcaster, maybe the first guy really to make a career of doing play-by-play, Graham McNamee.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He hasn't been with us in a long time. I don't think he has any descendants either. But been learning quite a bit about him. And, yeah, that's part of the ceremony on Saturday before the real players get introduced on Sunday.
Speaking of historic baseball, wonderful piece yesterday in the Globe about the Hotel Buckminster and the place that the Black Sox scandal was launched, in that little room, I think it was room 615, where Chick Gandel and Sport Sullivan got together. How did this story come to you? It was a wonderful piece of work.
Thanks. I just have always heard about it, and you know, we've seen Eight Men Out, and they gloss over that, but I know that of course, when the chicken and beer thing came up 5 years ago, that the Popeyes is downstairs in the same space, which amused me. And I've been driving by there so much. You know, we're in the quiet of the summer, and I just had it in my head to go in there. I'd walked in a few times. I mean, it's a tremendous location, and from that room I had for the night, you can listen to the concert at Fenway. You can kind of look over the left field wall. It's 300 feet from the wall. And just the whole notion of guys in the old boater straw hats walking back and forth to the ballpark, and the place still feels like it's 1919 when you walk in there.
Well, and as you pointed out in the article, you can draw pretty much a direct line from what happened there to the overreaching power of one Roger Goodell today.
Right, I was trying to make it a little bit relevant. Like, the story's kind of out of nowhere, so the obvious launch for it is this is the original scandal, which was a true scandal, and it gave birth to the role of commissioner. There were no sports commissioners at that time, and baseball wanted an all-powerful guy to come in and clean it up and act in the best interests of the game, which is what Judge Landis did, and they've all done to one success of another since. But yeah, without the Black Sox scandal, maybe there is no Roger Goodell.
We're talking with Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. Well, we're into the second half of the season, still a few weeks away from the trade deadline, but Dave Dombrowski has been pretty proactive. In the offseason, a lot of people believe that he won the offseason by acting before everybody else. Has he won the trade deadline a couple weeks ahead?
Well, I certainly, three acquisitions are, significant acquisitions, so that's, yeah, I think I like what he's doing. This is, he's about winning now. He's not beholden to the farm system. He's not afraid to move guys, and I like it. I mean, I don't think they just became prohibitive World Series favorites, but I think it enhances their chances to get into the tournament, and then the old anything can happen. They're not built for postseason the way they're going right now. Too many 10-4 wins and 3-2 losses, but then the latter category is really playoff baseball, which they need to tighten up.
One of the things that I'm sure made it easier to deal a guy like Espinoza is recent history and the fact that the Red Sox have not done a great job of developing young pitchers in their system. Is that just a coincidence, or is there something wrong with the way they're doing things?
Well, it's true. I mean, you can't argue. This goes back a long line. It's really old as the franchise. I mean, you had a little surge of guys, Tudor, Ojeda, Hurst in the early 80s. And, Clemens, in my view, was developed by University of Texas. And, it was a long time. And then, John Lester, that was one of the reasons I thought letting go of him was, critical, because it was a rare guy who was drafted, developed by them, and won a World Series with them and really dominated it. So, yeah, I thought that was significant. But in many cases, they've used pitchers as chips. They dealt Sean Casey in the Gonzalez deal, and Tony Armas Jr. in the Pedro deal. Sanchez was dealt. So yeah, they have had guys, and this may be what we look back on with Espinoza. Who knows? But I'm always, again, I can't talk out of both sides here. I'm in favor of the proven player now.
They've got to make some roster moves this week, and it appears that they've got one pitcher too many. Do you think this is finally the end of the line for Clay Buchholz?
Boy, this is going to be interesting. I would disable him, you know, before I'd release him. I just think it's a risky business. You know, you're paying him, and he's going to get snapped up. You just don't want to see him coming in with the Blue Jays, and then all of a sudden he finds himself. And I think that's risky. So I don't know how it plays out. But, yeah, when they're acquiring starters, Rodriguez had the good start. They don't seem disposed to putting him back in the rotation, which fans are all angry at him. I don't know. I mean, I'd be surprised if they just release him. I think that's kind of drastic.
A couple of young talents are making waves down at Portland with the AA Sea Dogs. Do you think we'll see either Moncada or Benintendi before the regular season is over?
Well, Dombrowski has talked that that's, you know, somewhat, I guess it's a notion that it's not too crazy for them. I'd be surprised, and I think, you know, I remember going back, Dwight Evans coming up in the middle of the pennant race, or late in the pennant race in 72, and playing in Detroit. He's 20 years old. So it's done, and they know those guys they project them as big league, you know, star kind of players. They've rushed too many people to the bigs recently over because of injuries or underperformance or just these lost seasons. So I would think they would avoid it unless you get into a situation where they think Benintendi is better than any left fielder they've got down the stretch.
Is this a two-team race down the stretch, or will be more teams? Will the Yankees find a way to sneak back in? Can the Orioles stay where they are?
I mean, I think Toronto's the one that if I look at it, they have not made their move yet. They've tread water, and they're right there with Boston. The Oriole thing, we keep saying, well, that's not sustainable. And, you know, but they have a great manager, great bullpen. They hit home runs, and they're still there. We said this 2 years ago, and they won 95 games, so we'll see, but I do think the Yanks, you know, they're still under 500, and I think that's just three teams ahead of you under 500. July 18th, that's not a good model.
Dan, were you at the McCartney concert last night?
Yes, I was, and you know, Sir Paul played 38 songs, still kicking it at 74. It was spectacular, and Fenway, you know, really is a good venue. It's pretty cool to, you know, see Paul McCartney, you know, playing Hey Jude, and you can see the Citgo sign behind him. I like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was there the last time he was at Fenway, I think 3 years ago. Boy, it's incredible. We were talking about it the other day. He doesn't have to be out there doing this. He clearly doesn't need the money, but he doesn't just put on a show. He's out there for a long time playing everything, and I know on this tour doing some songs, some Beatles songs that he had never done in concert before.
Yeah, it's really a thrill. I mean, my sister went, you know, 52 years ago when they first appeared, and they played at the Garden, I think 64, February maybe, but it was $6 then. It's a little more pricey this time, but it's so worth it for us old-time baby boomers because, you know, this is really the soundtrack of our lives, and, you know, he's got that catalog, and I can understand if you have that catalog, and, you know, he's not jumping around like Springsteen or Jagger. I mean, it's not as physically imposing, and just to make people happy and to be able to play those songs that you wrote them all, yeah, I'd keep doing it if I were him, too.
Absolutely. Hey, Dan, it's great talking with you, as always. Have a wonderful time this weekend, a well-deserved honor. Soak it all in and enjoy it.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
That's Dan Shaughnessy, the Boston Globe. Again, he'll receive the J.G. Taylor Spink Award for his contributions to baseball at Cooperstown as part of the Hall of Fame ceremonies this weekend.